Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We come back. You have all gained some sort of finery from Mr. White, a demonic tailor here on Azagrat. You can decide what that looks like. We'll go over that in a second. You kill a few hours. Getting the clothing basically takes up long enough of that time that you can get fancy clothes that will help you blend in at the Argent Palace, certainly. You know, you begin to notice as you get closer to it, the clientele desperately improves its attire and its displays of wealth as you get closer. You retrieve the hammer, the Howling Tempest, after a few hours from the Durgar. Katie, for your benefit, Howling Tempest now triples your jump distance whilst you wear it.
Nice.
Which means that you can basically do a long jump of about 60 feet or a standing high jump of 25 feet. And then obviously things like athletics or if you're jumping off stuff, that will make that even higher. So you kind of can do... Yeah, just
I
literally
want it
jump
to be
25
mobile.
Feet up in the air. Yeah.
If things are flying, I'm still... just going to be like, ah.
Yeah. And, you know, if it's flying 60 feet up in the air, you're probably still not going to be able to reach, but this at least gives you, like, I can jump around and get to things a lot easier, basically. And it was cheap. It was like 500. It was like 500 gold.
Jump.
Yeah,
jump,
it was pretty cheap.
Jump. Sorry. Yeah.
you pick up the hammer, and you basically continue on your path. You follow the Hall of Vanity. The polished mirror surface that Sentry saw as you were coming down to the city, this kind of has this covering over the whole promenade, which is polished like a mirror as well. So where before all the walls of the buildings were like a mirror and were creating these like complex reflections and making the place seem even busier, now your sky is a reflection of everything below it, which adds even more confusion. As you're trying to look up in the direction of the palace, you're seeing a reflection of the crowds and the buildings and the signs and the illusion advertisements all ahead of you. And it creates this sense of not quite knowing exactly where you are, what time of day it is. You're not sure where the sun is. You're not sure how long you've been here. You're kind of guessing it at this point. But it doesn't take you long before you emerge into an area which is much quieter. As you reach the end of the Hall of Vanity, you see a great courtyard opens up. A courtyard full of hundreds of statues. And each statue shows the same individual. Cast in bronze, silver, gold, platinum, they all show this perfect humanoid. Sometimes they look slightly more feminine, sometimes they look slightly more masculine, sometimes they are neither, sometimes they are both, but they are always just unearthly beautiful and unearthly perfect. They represent, like, you look at them and that is what a humanoid should look like. That's just their perfect form. Some of them seem to have, like, feathered, like, appendages coming off their body. Some of them have scales. There's just all these different types and versions of this person that they just appear to be perfect. And these statues all point towards an entrance, a grand open entrance of stacked golden columns. As you make your way, you begin to see more and more guards. You see people wearing armor. You see robed acolytes, all with these uncomfortable big smiles that just stretch all the way up on their jaws. Welcome to the Argent Palace. Please don't cause any trouble, as they kind of gesture towards it. Best of luck. Enjoy the hospitality of our Prince Gratz, as they, lead you up. And you can see many, many visitors also make their way. Again, you see these beautifully dressed fey creatures. You see demons in armor making their way up. You see soldiers, Ganassi. You see creatures of all different planes, insectoid-like creatures that you've never really seen before. You think you see a mind flayer. You think you see an illithid. Their long tentacled face, their big domed bulbous head in a high collar, making their way up the steps. And eventually you are led into the most opulent but also gaudy place you've ever been. Everything is gold, and it is polished to such a shine that it is like a mirror. There are fountains with, again, statues of this figure that seem to be full of wine. There are gemstones that cover most of the furniture, and it is just a place of such opulent, gratuitous beauty and wealth that it's kind of ridiculous, but also awe-inspiring at the same time, that so much wealth could be contained in one place. Everybody, like, all of the staff wear almost nothing. They basically have, like, loincloths. Regardless of gender or type, they are of different races. Some of them are insect-like people. Some of them appear to be walking golems, but they're all dressed in these almost very scantily clad, showing off as much skin as possible. They carry trays full of alcohol. You can see strange glass pipes full of narcotics. You see, like, just every kind of pleasure or indulgence is here. You can hear all sorts of noises. You hear music. You can hear lovemaking. You can hear all sorts of just weird stuff going on throughout this palace. You can hear fighting. You can hear cheering. You can hear drinking, eating. And looking around, this main central hallway splits off. There are restaurants, there are drinking dens, gambling halls. It's just full of anything you could desire. Anything that you could indulge in is here. And it is ridiculous. And whilst the staff all seem to be smiling, anybody who can look in their eyes can see that they are miserable, that they are forced to smile, but their eyes are dead to the world. But the guests who are enjoying it, it's the complete opposite. They look so just indulged and happy and blissful that they are just uncomfortably to be around, that they're just slovenly laying on chairs, shoving food in their mouths, drinking from six glasses at once, spending gold and gambling, you're just pulling up piles of platinum and silver and just throwing it on a table to throw it away. And yeah, the whole place is full of music and smells, sweet and sour and citrusy, but mixed in with cigar smoke, all of it just kind of filling the place as you enter. Do you guys say or think or anything? It's a lot to take in. It really is. For characters and for players.
Let's keep Lucius a clear head. Let's not get carried away. I know it's a lot, but we've got it. We've got an objective. We need to complete it and get out of here.
I'm so confused. I'm so conflicted. Everyone here is just doing whatever they want.
As you say that, you see this almost like a werewolf woman. She kind of like leans over here in the conversation, like,
"Do whatever you please, my dear. That is the nature of the Argent Palace."
And you see her just pick up like what appears to be like a roasted lamb leg, and she starts eating it, all the juices spilling onto this elegant silvery dress that she appears to be wearing, and the juice and the meat just fills it. Doesn't seem to care, just doesn't. A servant begins coming up and cleaning it away for her, just pays no mind.
That's
Thalia.
Revolting.
Thalia just lets out a breath. "Let's just do what we came here to do. I need to make it very clear to everyone here that we are challenging Gratz to the Dance of the Sixth Finger. if everyone is aware we are playing, it is more likely the game will be as fair as it can be. He doesn't want, you know, we want to ensure that people know that we are playing this game. It gives us a certain degree of protection. Yes, I think.
Okay.
So
yes.
Do
well, we
want to
be together in this game.
Yeah.
Well, and she sees there is a large gong in the center of the chamber, this kind of like big opulent golden palace. She starts moving towards this gong.
Oh, is that okay. How we alert everyone?
So
I mean, I was going to use it. I don't know. I've never been here. I've never done this. I was going to ring that thing as loud as I can and yell that I'm here for the Dance of the Sixth Finger. That is certainly okay. To get Gratz's attention. Unless you don't think that's
no
a good idea.
It's the way to go. Exactly. I mean, no one's going to stop you doing it. So,
hold on.
We'll get attention.
Sentry, hold up your shield.
Okay.
I was going to check my teeth and make sure. And
yeah, so Sentry, your
my
shield
hair and stuff like that.
I mean, Lucius, like the shield, you call it the shield, and it's so polished, it's like a mirror. Like Sentry's shield, over the time that you have been on this planet, Sentry, any like dirt or marks on it have vanished, and it is now polished bright. It's super reflective. And yeah, like Lucius can like see his teeth and pick at them and adjust your appearance. But every surface, like the floor, the bases of the statues, the walls, the columns, they're all so polished and shiny. They are mirrors. They are basically mirrors here. The whole place is reflective.
Just in case.
Yes. Yes.
I want to cast aid at level 4 on me, Lucius, and Nova again. So that raises your max by 15 HP.
Nice.
Damn. It's your 15. Max hit points. It's not temporary as well. Yeah.
15.
Yeah. So while you guys do that, Thalia makes her way to the gong. Go on, Tom. You had an
That was it. That was it.
Okay. Thalia picks up a hammer, like a golden hammer, looks at it, kind of seems to think, I wonder how much this is worth. And then bang, clong, 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 whacks
ow.
It. Really loud. All the heads whip round. And Thalia, just at the top of her voice, I have come to challenge for the Dance of the Sixth Finger, Gratz. Those of you who serve him, tell your master I have come for his game. And then there is a pause, a long drawn out silence. Go on, Quill.
We're joining.
Yeah. Yes, and my companions here. And she points to the group of you.
Us too.
There is a long pause. And then just, yes, yes! Like, everybody, like, just begins cheering and clapping, screaming in mixtures of fear and hate, but also joy. Like, just noise begins filling the chamber. People begin singing and crying and chanting. It's just this overwhelming emotion erupts through the whole place. And then you feel a presence. I would like everybody to make, and I believe this is a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, oof, good.
Okay. I guess we're all in range of Sentry, yeah.
You are all in range of Sentry, so you can all have the plus 3. So you'll get plus 3.
Oh, natural 20. Nice. 26 total for me. Okay.
8.
Well.
And 9 for Lucius.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's not great. Feel this presence overwhelm you. It's like the air itself is alcoholic. You feel drunk. You feel joyous. You feel an intense chill ripple through your body. Nova, you are the exception. You're the only one who kind of semi-avoids this.
I got 19.
I got 21.
Yeah, 21? No, I don't think you succeed either.
Really?
Nope.
I got 26, yeah.
You almost want to just fall to your knees and just begin indulging yourselves in whatever your characters would want in this particular moment in time. As you feel the air just become thick with this presence, it's intoxicating. You yearn for it as a figure, a pair of golden doors at the top of the hall open up, and a 9 foot tall onyx skin, like not black or gray or brown, but like pure obsidian skin made from stone, with a bald head and powerfully, you know, rippled muscles that are perfect in every way, begins descending down, wearing nothing but a kind of long skirt made of red, thick, luxurious looking fabric. Their abs and their torso completely on display, gold bangles around their wrist and a big gold sort of like a torque around their neck. With his arms outstretched, he just begins descending. Each footstep as it touches the ground almost seems to send out reverberation, and the people around you are just like squealing and squirming, clapping. People begin like just guzzling drinks, taking food, narcotics, just like shoving them in their mouths or their eyes, whatever they can do, just completely indulging themselves. And it's really only the presence of, I'd say, Sentry the Matrix that is kind of keeping most of you from kind of just debasing yourselves and indulging yourselves. Nova, you're much more clearly, you know, clear-minded as this happens. But even those of you within Sentry's Matrix, like, it's like hard to think. It's hard to like feel anything apart from just like, man, I've just got a craving to do something, you know, do whatever you want to do. And this voice just kind of like ripples out from this figure as he speaks.
Well, someone has come to dance sick figure. I am so pleased by this. It has been too long. Who are my challengers?
And he gestures to the party. Several demons, a large vulture-like creature, and a woman with a snake's, like, her lower half is that of a snake, but she has 6 arms. She appears to be wearing a beautifully embroidered dress which shows signs of battle. Angels and demons and devils, a trio all fighting at once, is embroidered on this dress. She kind of slides from an unseen room.
Greetings, everyone. You are in the presence of His Majesty Prince Grast. What are your names, challengers?
Quill. I'm Quill. Quill.
Quill. Thalia.
Thalia Whisperwind, if you don't mind. Any others?
Sentinel Prime.
Or just the two? Ah, the construct.
Looks to the others to see if anybody else.
I'm Lucius Spirin, Elwin, Ellen Astor, at your service.
Ayla.
Hey.
Nova. Is Nova just struck dumb?
I think, yeah. I mean, does she notice everyone being really different, like in the group? Like,
well, I think that they're not as bad as everybody else, but yeah, you definitely notice that, like, they're struggling to, like, think and things like that, or, like, things seem to be distracting them, but they're not acting different. They're just...
Yeah.
Something is obviously influencing them, or, like, it's like watching somebody who's, like, getting drunk. Like, you can see their eyes kind of struggling to focus a little bit, and...
I'm Nova. Nova Vija.
Well, what wonderful challenger. I have a game for you. Yes. Come, my little darlings, my cherubs, my challengers. I have a game for you.
And with that, the large, tall, 9-foot-tall demon prince gestures and begins making his way back up the stairs from whence he came. And as he departs, that presence seems to fade, and you kind of feel your minds reeling back to what they once were. The Marilith, the snake woman with the 6 arms, comes up. You can see that she has delicate silver bracelets around each wrist. You will follow me, those of you who wish to challenge. His Majesty will brief you on the challenge itself. Then there will be several, perhaps a few hours whilst we set it up. You will be free to enjoy any food or drink or games or other pleasures as you wish in this time. Consider yourselves guests of the Argent Palace. Just don't cause any trouble.
I could do with some lamb. I'm going to go start finding the woman earlier that was just indulging.
No, my dear. We will have it brought for you. Come. She holds a hand out to Lucius. We will have it all prepared fresh for you. You are most honored guests. It is rare that we have a challenge for the sixth finger.
So very generous. Thank you.
Come. I'll have a suite prepared for you. And she slithers her way up the stairs, leading you all. You're led to another opulent suite. Sofas of rich fabrics and velvets, rugs, furs, golden bowls full of fruits and food of worlds that you have never visited, brightly colored liquors in bottles. There is a custom bar. Behind it, a figure with 2 large pincers and 2 small arms, a giant red horned demon in a small little tie, is preparing drinks for you, watching you with a callous eye. Please, I shall have His Majesty join you to explain the game momentarily.
Okay. I mean, we've got time to waste. I mean, why not? You know, why not?
While we're here, we may as well enjoy ourselves, right?
The plan.
Clear head, we have a plan.
Do the game. But also, we have time.
Like they said, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah. I mean, for Quill, like, if he was indulging, he's just burning spell slots. He's like, using the Iron Storm, like, displaying magical finesse all around the place, like, yeah, you get paid, and I feel your. No.
But well, didn't you say that it subsided when he went back upstairs?
It did subside, yes. So there's still that lingering,
Don't you dare.
I mean, you have that thing of, like, when you have something you really want, and then you finish it, and then you're like, oh, I really could go for another one of those. There's still that lingering, like, oh, I could just have another one, you know, that kind of like, yeah, but what if I did just, like, I could just do that, right? Like, it seems fine. Like, there's that lingering thing in your mind. But there's not a compulsion. There's no compulsion there currently.
I see. Is there any restraint? That's absolutely what Quill would be doing.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys do anything? Like, she seems like she'll be returning with Gratz almost immediately. Like, you've got a few minutes before he returns.
Yeah. Are you guys okay? You kind of went really weird. What's going on? Like, I'm the one who's weird, but you guys went really weird, like mega weird, like off the charts weird.
Something about
it was
the presence of it just felt intoxicating, like I wanted to indulge. Some sort of, I don't know, my head got cloudy and I just wanted to enjoy everything this place had to offer. Then why not? Mm. I can still feel it. Do you not?
No. I mean, I really want to read books all the time, and, like, I know what it's like when you get into a really good book and you can't put it down, and then you put it down and then you pick it up because you just can't stop thinking about it, and then you don't want to read it. You don't want to finish reading it because it's really good and you don't want it to end.
I'm going to put my hand on her face.
The classic.
Yes, sir. I get
but
it.
This didn't happen that time. I think you guys maybe. Oh, Lucius, I'm gonna lick your hand. Bleh.
It's a good thing I wear gloves.
It's just important.
Thalia is holding a giant drink, by the way. She's got, like, she went to the bar while you guys were talking and comes back with, like, a massive, like, alcoholic drink, and it's just like...
So, do we all want to be in the challenge? Shouldn't some of us, like, be on the fringes helping to... I don't really know.
What? I feel we should all be in it together, right? Team?
Yeah. Six-person challenge.
Were we not originally supposed to just be supporting Thalia in the background? That was my impression too.
Me too.
I like that
too.
Plan.
I don't remember my soul being a part of this.
I think it was the idea that perhaps if there was some sort of team battle, I might need your assistance, but depends on the challenge, I suppose. Thalia. I mean, let's wait and see what Big, Tall and Handsome tells us.
Hold on a second, Thalia there. You're about to enter a very, very important challenge, which could forego your entire soul.
Yep.
But I think you need to be, like Sentry said, clear-minded, able to do something to the best of your ability.
Absolutely, my dear Lucius. Keep in mind, I am about to wager my soul for a dream of mine that I've had for several centuries. I needed a drink. Second of all, I fly my astral ship through hazards far worse than this whilst being far more drunk.
Quite honestly, she's probably better at when she's drunk. She's really good at steering that ship when she's drunk. I can vouch for that.
It just relaxes you a little bit. That's what I needed. Just a bit of relaxation. Yeah. Also, I'm quite terrified, and honestly, the drink was quite necessary, I assure you.
Is there something we can do to assist Thalia now before we're ushered into the challenge itself?
As you say that, the doors begin opening, and you see the Marilith returning, but this time the figure is not 9 feet tall. They are 6 feet tall. Still, this time, rather than being obsidian-skinned, they're just dark-skinned, with a bald-shaved head. They appear more feminine in their form. Before, they were impossibly powerfully masculine with these big, broad shoulders and muscles. Now it's a little bit more sculpted. It's a little bit more of a feminine kind of shape, but still muscular, still very well-defined with a physique, an impossible physique, but a bit more kind of like thin and lithe. As they kind of stretch forward, they're wearing like a long black gown. As they step forward, the Marilith bows her head. Our Majesty, Prince Gratz. And you don't feel that same presence spreading out this time. As the figure smiles. Forgive me for earlier. I like to make an impression. It does the palace good to have me, appear in my natural form. I felt that for this conversation, something like this is a bit more appropriate, don't you think?
I agree.
So, challengers for the Dance of the Sick Finger. It's been a while. Decades, at least. I do enjoy these. Oh, they give me a special pleasure to create something, to put people to the test. A gamble. Ugh. So, you've come. I suspect you know the basics, the rumors, the legend. Shall we discuss how it actually works?
Please?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. It's quite simple. It is a stake. You will stake your servitude, soul, if you wish to use that term. In exchange, if you win, you will win 3 wishes. A powerful magical relic that will grant your heart's desire 3 times. To do so, we will play a game of my own creation. The very nature of the game, changes each time. I've developed this one most recently based on a lovely little thing that I was given from another existence. I gathered it from a planar friend of mine. It's an interesting game. One I think you will find. However, I see that there are six of you. I'm afraid that only three may participate.
Oh. Oh.
Okay.
You will soon understand why. It is something of a game of threes, in a way. Three wishes, three players, three fates.
Do we get to know what the game is before we decide? You know, so we can put the best challenges forward and make a good go of it.
Well, I will tell you this. It is a game of chance. There is, well, some could say there was some skill to it, but ultimately it is a game of fate. There will not be any fighting, I will tell you that. But also, I will not tolerate any cheating, spell casting and the like. I will, of course, oblige by the same rules. I wish it to be fair, of course.
Yet no one has won.
I have been very fortunate.
Can I roll an ins? No, I've got minus one. What's the fucking point? I was going to roll an insight on that. I got minus one. I got nothing.
Look to Quill and say, Quill, you've got an eye for this sort of thing.
Messenger ring. It's still magical. He might be able to detect it.
Might be able to.
Thalia steps forward. Thalia, I will be one of the challengers, without a doubt. And then she looks. I won't make the rest of you choose. Gratz turns. I could play it with just one. If there is three of you, I will split the wager. Instead of one lifetime, perhaps say, well, seeing as you are something of a longer lifespan, my dear, why don't we split it three? 200 years each? That seems reasonable to me.
Reasonable. Could you give us some time to discuss our plans? To make the most entertaining game for you, of course, as well.
It will take about an hour or so for us to set up the game, and obviously bring people in to watch. It is something of a spectacle, after all. So yes, you will have some time to discuss and debate your plans, but I want to leave some of the surprise. Like I said, this is my game, it's my rules. I want to make it, I don't want you to sit there and worry too much. But it is a game of chance. Of course, you're more
one you developed.
Do you any other takers for the challenge? It is three wishes. I suppose that if three of you play, that's a wish each. Think of that, a change to your entire life. You could do so much. Have all the wealth in the world you desire.
Yes, I will join.
Ah, very well. The handsome elf. Oh yes, I will enjoy having you serve me if you do lose. I can think of many uses for you.
Oh, fuck you, Mark. Fuck you.
I mean,
the Birdman.
Is there anything else that you can tell us? Is there anything else you can tell us about this game before we decide who participates? Just so we can, you know, have a little chat.
How about this? You can ask me three questions about the game, and I'll answer them. A game of threes. I enjoy this so much. At the end of the day, I don't need to tell you anything. You wish to win the ring? You play my game. Play by my rules. But I like this. This is fun. So three questions about the game.
So no skills.
Feel free.
What do you call the game?
Now that is a good question. I call the game the Taroka game.
Okay.
That is one. Two more questions.
Okay, because I mean, I could just... That's info enough, right?
For what?
Is it though? Not in the Quill? Game.
Yeah. You say it's a game.
I mean, that's
words.
Info enough.
What decides the chance? What?
What decides the chance? What? That's a question. It is cards, randomly selected cards. Two questions. That's one left.
How do you win?
Ah. You win. There are two ways to win. You either have more points than your opponent, or you draw a special card in a special way. Three questions answered. The Birdman, I believe you were raising your hand to volunteer yourself as a player in this challenge, along with the handsome elf.
Claw.
We have a chat? Unless anyone else... We could do.
I'd prefer to know the players now.
Okay.
That's what
I've answered
talk
my questions about the game. Oh, you can talk in front of me. Please, feel free. It's my palace, my dear. If you're worried about me overhearing things that you don't want me to hear, you are doing it in the wrong place. This is my home. This is my city. I know everything.
I'm very unlucky.
Then I recommend you don't play.
Very unlucky.
Quite simply.
Yep, I agree.
But I have a long time. I think
I'm to play.
We all need to look
perceptive.
At ourselves and our ambitions. I put myself forward because I feel you all have a greater purpose.
How noble.
What? I mean, I put myself forward because I might win, but the chances are so slim.
I love a confident player. There's no point playing a gamble if someone thinks they're going to lose. I want someone who thinks that they're going to win. I like this, Birdman. You should play. Your other friends do seem too cautious. You'll need a bit of confidence to play. A bit of free information.
I'm not very perceptive.
Does anyone oppose me joining?
Thalia turns around. Quillick, if I'm honest, I think that you're the best one to join me, but I won't force you. I would very much like your powers and your insights.
There's no spell casting in the game.
You are very wise. I would, and you have a mind for this sort of thing.
I have strength, but there's no fighting.
No fighting. I have enough.
I don't
fighting.
Know what I can offer you.
I said, don't play.
Okay. Then. I will join with Lucian.
Oh, marvelous. Marvelous. Well, the game will be prepared. I will have... you will come and be fetched and brought to the gaming arena. The rest of you will be able to watch along with everyone else. It will be a wonderful show, I'm certain.
Can we have front row
no
seats
spell
at
casting.
Least?
Of course, my dear. Of course. Whatever you want. Indulge yourself. Take whatever you want.
Do you have any libraries?
I have knowledge. If you want knowledge, I can provide you knowledge. Anything.
Oh, I like that.
Over.
Huh?
Yes.
What?
Indulge.
Pass the check.
There have been many wizards and mages and scholars who have come for me for forbidden knowledge. Forbidden lore lost to the ages. Hobby, my dear. What greater pleasure is there than indulging in one's hobby? One of my hobbies is making games. That's why I created this little challenge. Still, I will leave you to prepare. 1 hour, and then we'll be ready to play. Marvelous. And with that, the figure presents itself as Gratz leaves. And you're once again left in this suite... with a demonic barman, is the only person in the room with you. Seems to be thoroughly bored.
Okay, he said no spell casting in the game. We are not in the game now. So if you've got any preparation spells we can have to influence us more, I can enhance ability, which...
So he's definitely going to cheat as well. So I was wondering if that was one of the ways that I could help, is I could try and figure out how he's cheating. Maybe.
How?
Things like detect magic, or I can briefly see through things. I don't know, in case he's got like a false table I don't know. When are you going to use your eye?
I will do. I absolutely will do. But I guess I want to prepare to, before the game begins, cast Enhance Ability on... Mm-hmm. Do I know who's less wise of the two, Lucius and Thalia?
Not really, but you know Lucius the best.
If I had to put like a stat, like a number to your...
Tom, I'm not going to... Tom, just pick one of the two. I'm not going to tell you what Thalia's wisdom score is. You can make your judgment based on the character that you have seen me play. That's what you can base that on.
I mean, she's a pilot, right? She's got to be pretty wise. I'll cast Owl's Wisdom on Lucius, so he has advantage on wisdom checks. Sure. And that lasts for an hour, so I'll do that before, you know...
Thank you,
before
leave.
The game begins.
Okay.
And... I will use the eye to ask, how do we identify...
You're using the eye now?
Yes, because he's described the game, like the game exists in his mind. So,
yeah.
I mean, unless he changes the game, but he did pitch it to us. So I want to ask how to identify the correct card in Gratz's Taroka game, or whatever he called it.
Mm-hmm. You don't expend a charge because it cannot answer that question.
Oh.
The nature of the game means it cannot answer that question. So you don't spend a charge.
We can't... So it's not possible to identify one from another.
Rather than sitting here and having Tom go through a bunch of questions, is there any other preparations? Otherwise... unless you've got some stuff that you want to do. Lucius? And Sentry, go
could.
On. That's all Lucius. Hand up.
I could put down a teleportation circle here so that if the worst comes to worst, me and Quill are stuck. You could utilize it to get out quickly. I don't know where you can go, but...
Well, also, you have to be there to activate the teleportation circle. I don't think it works that way.
Well, I could put it down in the hopes that I can get out and take us all away.
I wouldn't worry too much about that. I can Tiangong and me had a talk and I can also do a thing that Mark's going to tell me I can't do now.
Well, no, I'm going to say for Trot, the way the teleportation circle works is you spend a minute casting it. At the end of that minute, a portal immediately appears and remains open until the end of your next turn. You can't hold the teleportation circle. You could it's not even a concentration spell. It takes a minute to cast. At the end of that minute, the portal appears and you've got 6 seconds to use it. You can't put it down and then activate it later. That's like you have to spend like every day putting it there to do that.
I also can cast it. Could I use
it's
a
exactly
turn
the same
casting
thing.
It as well?
No, because it takes a minute to cast. No, it takes a minute to cast, and then when it sits created, the portal appears for one round, and then that's it. That's how the spell works.
Right. I just meant if we were like double casting it or whatever, then we could create two to the same place or whatever. Oh, then it'd be like
you could
fly,
create
two,
yeah, you could.
It would be
you could do that. You could create two. Yes, it's not a combat spell. Teleportation circle is a travel spell, not a combat spell. Yeah, you can try and fusion. You can try fusion dance. Absolutely, but it won't help you.
Don't worry about that. I've got you covered. I've got you covered. In a case of a speedy exit. Come straight to me. I got it.
Okay.
I can hit things to get away.
You can.
Sentry,
do you have something you wanted to do?
I was just going to give him a bless. Give him a good old-fashioned bless. Give him a D4.
How long does bless last?
Up to a minute, so I'll probably do it.
Just do it just before?
Just before, yeah.
Yeah.
Squeeze
it in. Just for, I don't know, I probably won't help, but just in case. Can I cast Comprehend Languages on myself before we go out? So it takes 10 minutes and it lasts an hour, and then I can comprehend every spoken language and written language if I touch
it. Every written language, not spoken.
If I touch it.
If you touch it, that's true. Anything else? Any other, like, preparations? If not, right?
Yeah, mine's concentrate, so yeah, I'm good.
The Marilith comes with several other guards, human guards, with the metal faces. and you are led away. Lucius, Thalia, and Quill are separated and led down to a separate area. The rest of you are brought... You are led into a tiered, circular room, like a domed room. The upper ring looks down into a smaller area, like an arena, that is separated by a large glass dome. Inside the smaller dome is a table with a red velvet covering and a small deck of cards. The upper ring is packed with spectators, rich-looking fae, orcs in armor, humanoids, ganassi, demons, and even some celestials join you, wearing their best finery, looking down, chittering and chattering in excited tones. Lucius, Quill, and Thalia are all led down into, and you see them emerge at the, in the kind of lower arena and led, which is about 60 feet. It's separated by about 60, 70 feet. You are led into the glass dome. When you pass through, you are basically told, head inside and stand by the table. When you pass through the kind of door archway that leads into the dome, any active spells on you immediately end. So enhance ability, bless, all of it, gone. You also realize, you also realize inside the dome, you can only messenger ring each other. You cannot messenger ring anybody outside of the dome. So the two of you can still communicate, but the others can't.
We locked in.
You're locked in. It's a lock. It's a mystery game. It's 3 minutes. Automatic lock in.
The cube.
And it doesn't take long before the far doors open, and once again, the 9 foot tall, impossibly perfect demon prince Gratz emerges and enters in the same way. You see the same spell effect as Gratz enters and walks in. The same dispelling magic fills his body. And you see him kind of stretch and everything else. Lucius and Quill and Thalia all need to make wisdom saving throws.
Ooh.
Shit. 25.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
11!
11. I will roll for Thalia.
Poop.
Right. So Lucius and Thalia, you both feel this kind of intoxicating sense come over you. And before you, a deck of cards has been laid out. 14 cards in total, laid out in 2 lines of 7. Gratz's voice echoes, and those in the upper ring can hear it.
My good friends and companions, a dance of the sick finger has been engaged. So, I welcome you to the Taroka game. The Taroka deck is a deck used in a realm far, far beyond our own multiverse. It is used to tell the past, the present, and the future, to divine fate. And what a better fate than gamble? A gamble to decide one's future, to condemn it, or to enjoy it forevermore. The game is quite simple. The 14 cards represent the high deck, each one a figure of this realm's strange ways. Each figure is worth a number of points. They value from 0 to 13. The cards have been shuffled and placed by a completely fair celestial. He points.
And he points up to a well-clothed, very prim and proper looking angel who just nods with a very glaring look, just kind of glares and nods to everyone else.
To ensure that there is no claims of unfairness on my behalf, each player, in this case 3 times for myself or once each for my dear challengers, will choose a card. The card will score them a number of points equal to whatever it displays. However, if it is in its upright position, it is worth positive points. If it is in the reversed position, facing downwards, it is worth negative points. Whomever scores the highest points wins. There is one exception. The card called the Broken One. It is worth 0 points. But if you choose it, and it is faced upright, you win. The game automatically is yours. If the card is faced downwards, you automatically lose. Either player draws it, my opponent, the challengers, whoever draws it wins or loses. Actually,
sorry, I'm going to change that. I forgot I changed the wording on this.
The challenger will win automatically if it is drawn face up, or the challenger will lose if it is face down. So if I draw it and it is facing upwards, you win. If I draw it and it is facing downwards, you lose.
Right.
If you
okay.
draw it,
so that's the only.
You win.
Yeah. So that's the only instance where face down is what you want on a zero.
You want it facing upwards.
Yeah.
If the broken one is facing upwards, you win automatically. If either of you draws the broken one and it's reversed, you lose. It's the challenger, which is you, loses or
it
wins.
Doesn't matter
depending
who
on the position
draws
of the broken
it.
One. Yes, that's exactly. I fucked up like my wording because I remember I changed this to make it more exciting and fun.
I think we totally avoided
it. Terrifying.
It's a chance. The chance that it's just regardless, it's facing.
It's basically and that's the end it's it. A 50-50 chance. If that card is drawn, it's a 50-50 chance you win or you lose automatically.
Yeah. What greater pleasure in life is there than a gamble, a pure primal chance, a roll of the dice, a toss of the coin, fate, death, life hanging in the balance. I'm exhilarated. My challenge. I will even, being the gracious host that grants is, you may choose whether you go first or second.
And he gestures to the cards, which you now see on the table. Podcast listeners, it is two rows of seven cards, black, with a strange white design over the front. They are listed, their point value is listed. The broken one is worth zero, the beast is worth one, the ghost is worth two, the horseman three, the mists four, the marionette five, the donjon six, the innocent seven, the seer eight, the tempter nine, the raven 10, the executioner 11, the artifact 12 points, and the dark lord 13 points. If it is in its upright position, you will score. If you draw it and it is upright, it is a positive score. If you draw it and it is reversed, it is worth negative points. So, in theory, if you have all negative, you could have minus 7 points, but if you have the highest score, you still win.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Now, I feel like Quill with his arcane knowledge and having used the eye as much as he has, does he know if it actually gives off magical powers? Like, if divine magic can sense it?
You have never known a creature to pick up when you were using the eye, because only you see it. There is only a brief flicker in your eye of magic, but it just seems to be... Yeah, you don't think that anybody knows when you use it. But you only get to pick one card, Quill.
That's true.
That's true.
It's one card each. Thalia, Lucius.
We can't say, you know, to each other, you know, you pick this card, then this card, then this card, or whatever. Not as one team.
I mean, you and Lucius could.
That's true.
And Grant has said that you can choose if you go first or second.
Okay, who's first? Us or him?
I would prefer us. I feel that we should take the first move. It's a game of chance. Even if we assume that he is cheating in some way, at the end of the day, it's still just picking one of cards out of 14 possibilities.
And if they can, for some reason, know the positioning of the cards, us going first could prevent at least one from being picked.
If he knows the position of the cards, he'll just pick the one which means we lose automatically. So.
True. Yes, that's God's a very good point.
How far away are the rest of us? Like, so they're in a little stone.
70 feet, yeah. 70 feet, you're looking down on it, and you can see the table and everything else. But yeah, you guys realize the same thing. If you try and messenger ring, They don't reply. Yeah. You can't hear them. They're blocked off. Thalia will say, let me pick first. I'd rather, if I pick first, I feel like Quill should pick the last card. If anybody has a chance of salvaging whatever we find ourselves in, it's probably him.
Yes, you have an insight into these things, Quill. Even though this seems completely random, we've got something about you which draws fate and destiny into your wing.
Cool, no pressure, Lucius.
I believe in you is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. We'll go first, Gratz.
Well, very well. Such ambitious, courageous gamblers. Oh. Yes. Oh, the ecstasy of a temptation. Chance. Pick your card, challenger.
Thalia will step forward, and I'm going to roll to determine which card I randomly pick as Thalia. Because obviously Mark Humes knows which one. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Thalia will pick this card.
What is that?
Beast.
It is the beast, and it is upright. Ah!
Oh, we've got one point.
The beast, 1 point, but a positive point nonetheless. Well chosen, my seductive snake.
It's a Grant start. It's a good start.
Gratz then steps forward to take his first turn. And he will pick... You'll notice I'm not rolling for Gratz. He will pick...
Interesting.
Don't like it. Don't like this. Don't like it immediately. You just know exactly what they get. We literally need to have the luck to get more points than they possibly can, which means the broken one.
Gratz reveals a ghost.
Oh, how terrible for me. I'm behind on points already. The ghost -2 to my score. 3 points ahead.
Oh.
Don't trust it.
Okay. Hey, a 1 and a 2. That's a good start.
Don't like it.
It hasn't shifted things too much, Lucius.
I don't like this.
Well,
what do you mean,
Lucius? One of you two has got to draw the next card.
Let me go. I'll go. Right.
Do you wish to do any? All right.
There's nothing I can do.
No, you're right. Just do your best, Lucius. Whatever you can do. We'll be all right, Lucius. We'll be all right.
Okay. I'll step forward
to
the table.
So if you just ping it, yeah. You just
pick,
let me know which
one. Top row, this one.
Fifth five in.
God. So Lucius, you step forward, you place your hand on the card and flip it. And it reveals the reversed executioner.
No!
Oh, dear! -11 points, the reversed executioner. That brings your total to -10. Oh dear, seems that now I'm ahead.
Gratz will step forward. See, -10, he's at -2. So he will want to pick.
Oh man. He's 8 ahead of us. 8 ahead. Are you planning on cheating, Nova? Cheat for us.
No, I was just wondering, if I could cast Detect Magic to see if he's somehow using magic to...
Sure, do you want to cast Detect Magic?
Yeah, it takes 10 minutes to cast, though. So I don't know
ritual
how long this is
it,
taking.
Yeah. Don't need to ritual cast it.
But then, no, I'm 70 feet up, it's 30 feet, so...
Also, all of our spells dismissed as soon as we went in here. I think there's some sort of protective barrier.
Magic aura.
Yeah, what'd you do? Nova?
Yeah. No, there's nothing I can do within range, unfortunately. Well, there's okay. things I can do within range, but they're all
So you watch as Gratz makes his way. His hands seem to hover over the cards for a minute, and Quill, you notice he is looking incredibly intently, and there is a flicker of annoyance over his face as he's looking down at these cards, like a frustration that's only there for a second, and then it's gone, as he kind of looks over. I shall draw
this one.
Oh.
He reveals innocent. The reversed innocent.
-7, oh. But look at me, I'm still a point ahead. -9 to your -10. Two cards left to go.
Yes, Kim.
Can I
As Quill
cast...
is now the...
Can I cast Detect Magic anyway, but I can't. I'm wondering if someone's sending him shit. Like, if someone sure. outside is...
What?
Yeah.
That's... You can wander all you like. Are you... What
yeah,
would you like
no.
to do?
Can I look in the audience?
You are,
can I look in the audience
yeah?
and see the women that were with him before, like the kind of the snake
Marilith.
Lady and all
yeah.
of that? Can I see where they are?
She's at the door, basically guarding the door.
Guarding the door.
The main
inside.
Entrance that you came in. Yeah, the door that you came in to get to the upper ring. She's stood in front of it.
And I'm guessing she's not looking particularly intently anything. Or
no, she looks bored. She just looks bored.
Okay. Is there anyone that looks like they're looking really...
Make a perception check.
That could be in his staff. Oh, perception, -1.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's...
Yeah, that'll be a 1. So that's
it's
a 0.
It's crowded. It's so crowded, and you are so worried about the game that
yeah.
it's impossible to tell. Quill.
Yeah.
I've gone pallid white, and I've just turned to Quill and said, I'm sorry, I've lost it for us.
No, we're even, Lucius. We just need the right question. Remember, it's
well,
the right question.
You're a point behind, technically. -9 to -10 currently.
I know, but like yeah. compared to what it could be, like
yeah.
this is closer than yeah. it necessarily should be.
Do you not see this, Quill? This is all a ruse. The mannerisms, the way they speak. They're making it seem like there's a chance.
I mean, I picked up on his frustration. I guess I'd probably need to actually do an insight check to see if it was genuine frustration, but he was hiding it, right?
I'd say that, he was hiding it. Just by that, you think it was a genuine frustration because he was hiding it. It was like he noticed something about the cards that annoyed him.
He can't read them either, Lucius. If anything, the way these cards were laid out were not to his plan. I think he was planning to cheat, but couldn't.
If there's anything you can do, do it.
Now's the time.
I mean, I can also just use the eye, and if I don't get an answer right, I don't get an answer. So yeah. I just try again. okay, I'll use the eye, and just it's kind of a simple question, but which... card will win us the game. It's a bit of a shitty question, but like
which card will win you the game?
It's also relying on something that gives us the guaranteed most points. Something that means yeah. that he has no chance of beating us.
Yeah, that's what you're asking. That's
winning.
What I'm trying to... That's what I'm trying... I'm doing the math in my head to see if I can work that out. So he's at -9, you're at -10.
Like, if the Dark Lord is on our side, we've got 13 points, but he could draw the artifact and we're evens. I don't actually know what happens if we're even.
That's a good question. You don't know? Yeah. So you, the eye clouds, you see that familiar rush of storm clouds as a lightning burst, and you look down at the table and you see this card. Did my ping not show up? Can you guys see my ping?
No.
No. What row, what number?
The second row, first in from the left. So I wish you should be able to see my ping. Why can you not see my ping?
You see the one next to the beast? This.
There yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That
second.
This
row
card
two.
Begins to glow white.
Okay. Please.
There is an element though that as you see this, the problem is that because you asked which card will win us the game, right?
Yeah.
So that card glows, but you can tell that with the eye, it's almost like it glitches, and you can see that, like, this is a very uncertain future. You get the sense that this is the most likely card, but because it depends on his action after yours, if you had gone second, if this was the last card of the game, it would be a more certain answer. But this is the answer of, this is the card that can win you the game now. Right now.
Shit, you know what that means? I mean, that means if it's uncertain, it's not the broken one. It means it's most likely the Dark Lord on our side.
Or a higher scoring card.
Yeah.
Which means
it's not the broken one.
They can still get the broken one to win.
Unless it's the broken one on our...
No, the broken one is only affects the challenger. If you get the broken one, it will only fuck you guys.
Which means they could get more points by having...
Well, no, as like Quill said, if they get... Yeah, if they get the Dark Lord,
if they get the broken one and it's upright for them, then we lose.
No, I changed that. Sorry, that was my mistake. If it's upright, the challenger wins. If it's reversed, the challenger loses. That's the rule of the broken one. Regardless, it doesn't matter who draws it, it's which position it's in, and it affects you guys.
So
it's
down to points right now.
But that one was the one that showed up the most. In all 400 realities that I perceived, that was the card that showed up the most.
That's the one that, when you ask the question, what card should I pick to win the game? It's that one, but it's an uncertain future.
But likely.
It's likely. It's uncertain.
You know what would have been a good question? Asking what they would have picked next. Because that way you could have countered it. Anyway, carry on.
There's a sense that he doesn't know though, right?
I'm not, that's, if you want to infer that, that's up to you. I'm not going to confirm or deny it. You don't know. So, what are you doing, Quill?
Understands.
Quill, that happens in 6 seconds. What do you do? Because we've got to wrap the episode up as well. And then this is
I know,
a great
I know, I'm sorry. I am going to reach forward and pick up that card. Second row, second in. If that's the one you pinged, then that one.
Okay. So, Quill, you reach out and you feel for a brief moment the fluttering of wind and feathers as you feel the very faintest touch of Hesper with you. The upright Dark Lord. As you hear the crowd kind of like, oh, they begin clapping and cheering.
13 points on us.
You see Gratz kind of like a small twitch in his eye, and then he smiles.
Well, we seem to have our final card. Your past, present, and future has been revealed. What is this? 3 positive points. My, I'm in quite the pickle. I suppose if I could draw the artifact, if it is positive, well, then it's a draw. I suppose then no one wins, no one loses. Well, I better hope that luck is on my side.
And he reaches down to draw a card, and that's where we're end today's episode.
No!
Oh, come on.
No way! No way am I going to give this away with 5 minutes to end. Yeah, I want to leave you in for a week. I want to leave you for a week.
Fuck you.
I can't do that.
Fuck you. Straight up. That is the cruelest ending ever.
He's got 9 cards, and 2 of them, if they're facing his direction, will either be a win on his end or a draw. Anything else is a loss. Yeah.
The unbroken one and the artifact, right?
Yeah. 12 points or the 0 point insta-win snitch. Oh, yeah,
golden snitch.
Oh, I don't want to do it. I don't want to wait. That's it. Now.
No.
Do it now.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Oh. Absolutely not. Mark. It's too good a cliffhanger. Mark. It's too good. It's too good.
But Mark.
Shit, I hate this.
Also, Mark.
I'm out.
I need it. What happened? Yep. What card did he draw? Did we win? Did we lose? Did we potentially just draw?
Seal our fate of servitude for an eternity.
Yeah. 200 years. 600 between all of us.
200 years. Technically, Lucius would live through that. It'd just be a really miserable 200 years. Actually, no, he's an heroic elf. He wouldn't live.
Oh.
Cool. Oh, well, okay. You say that you'd only serve. I mean, keep in mind that it still has ownership of your soul for 2 years. That doesn't mean that, like, I mean, so you can just bring you back and be like, yeah, bring you back, still mine, have a little ghost. That's it. Thanks very much. We will see you soon. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Take care. Be kind.
Bye, everybody.